But I'll tell you right now, there's 32. Yeah, but I'm just waiting for the, I'll call everyone to settle a bit.
There's some people leaving.
If you like, you can move forward. So Srila Sukadev Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Prickett. And he says, surrounded by his blissful companions who constantly chanted his glories, Sri Krishna entered the village of Braja, which was decorated with herds of cows. So this pastime takes place after the Kaliya demon was chastised. And that night, after the chastisement of Kaliya, the residents of Vrindavan, including Krishna and all the cows, they spent the night out and slept out in the Vrindavan countryside. And then the next morning, Krishna took the cows and was entering the village of Vrindavan again with all the cows and all the cowherd boys. While Krishna and Balaram were thus enjoying life in Vrindavan in the guise of ordinary cowherd boys, the summer season gradually appeared. Raise your hand if you've ever been in Vrindavan during the summer season. How would you describe it?
It's hot.
It's
really hot.
Suffocating.
It's really, really, it's dry heat though, but it's very, very, very warm. And if you're in a brick building, the bricks, after some time, it radiates heat. And nowadays, the only thing you have to look forward to, or the only consolation, is that today it's not as hot as it's going to be tomorrow. But while Krishna and Balaram were thus enjoying life in Vrindavan in the guise of ordinary cowherd boys, the summer season gradually appeared. This season is not very pleasing to embodied souls. Nevertheless, because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was personally staying in Vrindavan along with Balaram, summer manifested the qualities of spring. In other words, the weather was perfect. And there were waterfalls, and the rivers were flowing, the Yamuna was flowing, and the trees were all blossoming. And such are the features of the land of Vrindavan, that everything was spring-like. Now, why is that? Because Krishna was there, and everything in Vrindavan, the time, the seasons, the land, the trees, the grass, the water, everything is consciously intent on serving Krishna, on pleasing Krishna. So the whole atmosphere in Vrindavan, even though it was the summer season, it became just like spring for Krishna's pleasure. In Vrindavan, the sound of waterfalls covered the cricket noises, because in the summer the water will the rivers tend to dry up and there's no waterfalls. But because it was like spring, there were waterfalls and the atmosphere was cooling. and the cluster of trees constantly was moistened by the spray from those waterfalls, and it beautified the entire area. So we look at Vrindavan and hear about Vrindavan and understand that it's the background, like the setting, for the interaction between Krishna and his devotees, for the different pastimes. But it's a conscious setting, it's a conscious interaction. So consciously the seasons, everything, the trees, the waterfalls, are acting in such a way to give Krishna pleasure, to make the setting as wonderful as it can be. So even though it was warm, the waterfalls created a fine mist, and the mist traveled all over the lotus flowers, and it picked up the fragrance and the petals, the pollen of those lotus flowers, and made the whole area fragrant and cool by that mist. And this was during the summer season. See, in the material world, in this world, we would always like the seasons to cooperate with us, with our desires. Have you noticed that? Has it been, what's the weather been like lately?
Wet.
Wet and cold. And, huh?
Terrible.
Nasty, terrible. And it's not being cooperative, because I want it to be spring, and I want it to be just perfect, and not too cold, and not too hot, and not too dry, and not too wet. But one thing we can count on is that the universe will never fully cooperate with us and our desires. We can count on that. So, the wind that was traveling over the waves of the lakes and the flowing rivers, it carried away the pollen of many varieties of lotuses and water lilies, and then cooled the entire Vrindavan area. Thus, the residents did not suffer from the heat generated by the blazing summer sun and the seasonal forest fires. That's another. Hare Krishna, welcome. You know what you're being welcome to?
Yes, thank you.
But you know what you're being welcome to?
Yes.
What?
It's a special day today.
And what is it?
Janmashtami.
Yeah, and this is a birthday party.
It certainly is, yes.
Yes. And welcome to the birthday party for Gopinath. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're very welcome here to the birthday party for Gopinath. Indeed, Vrindavan was abundant with fresh green grass. While the flowing waves, with their flowing waves, the deep rivers drenched their back. Because in the hot season, the rivers around the edge, it's all cracked and everything. It gets very, very, very dry. But it wasn't like that at all. It was flowing, and everything was moist, and the atmosphere was neither too hot nor too cold. Thus the rays of the sun, which were as fierce as poison, could not evaporate the earth's sap or parch its green grass. So the temperature was perfect. And then, here are some of the decorations of the Vrindavan forest for the pleasure of Krishna. Flowers beautifully decorated the forest of Vrindavan, and many varieties of animals and birds filled it with sounds. Now, who knows what kind of sounds the birds make in Vrindavan? Well, everyone knows one at least.
The peacock sound.
Yes. Any peacocks here? Anyone know the peacock sound? Jesse, no?
No idea.
You have no idea what a peacock sounds like? You have to go back to school. What does a peacock sound like? And even in... Okay, what sound did you hear when you heard that? I mean, not, how would you say it? How would you say it? I mean, okay, you make the sound. And how would you say that? Yes, very good. Who did that one? In the back, Somia, she's expert at this, it appears. Did it sound like Mayor to you? Yes. And guess what peacock is called in Sanskrit? That's Hindi, I believe. Mayor. In Sanskrit, in Hindi, it's more. More. And what are the birds?
Parrots.
Who can make parrot sounds? Any parrots here? Brother Roman can't even do a parrot. We hear them all the time, but they squawk and squawk and squawk and squawk. And what other ones? Can anyone do? Yes.
Chihuahua.
Do you know how to make a chihuahua? No. But there's also quail or coil. Anyone know what a coil sound? It's almost like a peacock. That's a yawning sound. That's not a coil. You know how to make coil sound?
Me.
Yeah. It tastes for
woo. I thought you asked you.
Yes, we're being polite. Mataji's first. Yes, can you make...
If everybody...
Oh, we'll close our eyes. We'll close our eyes and we won't look. Go ahead. Wow. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Now, everyone knows how to make the sound of deer, yes? Okay, everyone be quiet. You did very well. So the cuckoos and cranes, the quails and cranes, mayor, peacocks, and the bees. Bees? Any bee sounds? Everyone's so shy. There's tired, shy bees here. So, okay. You do the bees, you can do the peacocks, you can do the quail, and you can do the deer. We'll all go at the same time. Go ahead. This is something like the Vrindavan forest sounded like. And then everything was green and the weather was perfect. And intending, and this set the scene, this wonderful scene, intending to engage in his pastimes. Because the setting and the scene is meant for the drama to take place, the lila. Not exactly drama, not natak, but lila. So Krishna, he's the star. He's the hero. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, accompanied by Lord Balaram and surrounded by the coward boys and the cows, entered the forest of Vrindavan. And as he entered, there was a very special sound of an instrument that he was playing. He was playing his flute. So this is the beautiful scene. The grass is green, the cows are there, Krishna and Balaram, surrounded by all the boys, and everyone has this special quality in Vrindavan of being fully captivated by their love for Krishna and wanting to see Krishna's pleasure. Wanting Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna was playing his flute, and he was surrounded by the boys, and they all wanted to be near him. And they were dancing and playing. And Krishna was playing his flute, and they were dancing, and Krishna would dance, and Balaram would dance. And the peacocks, not only would they dance in the summer season, because this is in the summer season, in the rainy season, it's a little bit different, but the peacocks, what do they do? What is... raise your hand if you've ever seen a peacock dance. Wow. Do you know how to dance like a peacock, Braj Mohan?
No.
Do you know how to dance like a peacock? No. No. But anyway, it's amazing. They strut, they move, and then their feathers, they move, they open up their tail feathers. And the tail feathers move like this, and it makes a sound like snakes. It's really amazing to see. So this is all going on in the forest, and Krishna and Balaram are there. And what do the cowherd boys do? And Krishna and Balaram, the peacock drops some feathers. So Krishna takes the feathers, and the boys, they decorate themselves, the trees and flowers of Vrindavan, they're all generating fruits and flowers. So the boys decorate themselves and they make garlands, and the boys love to make garlands for Krishna. So they string garlands and give them to Krishna, and they take clusters of flower buds. They put them behind their ears, and they take minerals. There's certain rocks that when you put a little water on the rocks and you rub it, colors come. So then the boys would take rub the rocks with water and take different colors, and then they would decorate Krishna. They would put different dots and designs on his face. And each boy wanted to decorate Krishna. Now, that could be a problem. Why could that be a problem?
Many boys.
One Krishna. So if everyone, say if there were, say, 1,000 boys, and they each wanted to decorate Krishna. So one way to do it was, okay, you go first. And then after you finish, we'll wash his face. And then number two goes, and then number three, and number four, and number five. But that wouldn't work very well for many reasons. One, it would take a long time. And second of all, no one wants the decorations that they've just put on Krishna to be washed off. Because it's just natural when someone is decorating the deities, because there's... It's actually a most wonderful thing. When you decorate your deities, if you have deities and you decorate them with devotion in your own way, you'll Krishna reciprocates with you and shows you the beauty of the decoration. He reciprocates with you, and you think no one can decorate the deities like I decorate the deities, decorate Krishna. This is what always happens. So what does Krishna do? He expands himself into as many Krishnas as there are cowherd boys, just so he can accept the devotion that the boys have, that they want to offer him these decorations. And he does the same thing with garlands and feathers on it and sprouts and twigs, because the boys want to offer Krishna these things. And Krishna wanting to reciprocate with them, because this is the real happiness of Braj, of Vrindavan. It's they love Krishna, and Krishna loves all the residents of Vrindavan, and they want to serve Krishna and please Krishna, and he wants to please them. So this reciprocal love causes the reciprocation of love between the devotees and Krishna causes the great ecstasy. And the forest of Vrindavan, Yogamaya, and the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna even, wants their greatest pleasure is to facilitate the loving exchanges. It's just the opposite of the material world, where everyone wants to be facilitated to receive everything. We want to be the center. But at Goloka Vrindavan, everyone wants to serve. This is the special speciality of Vrindavan. Everyone wants to serve for Krishna's pleasure. And if Krishna is getting pleasure with being with Balaram, we want to serve. All the Brijvasis want to serve Krishna being with Balaram. They don't want to push Balaram out of the way and say, guess who's here? It's me. I want to be the center. No, not like that. So all of Vrindavan agrees on this. Otherwise, you can't be there. Agrees on what? That everything is for Krishna's pleasure. And by acting in that way, it's not like they are lacking pleasure. They get the highest ecstasy, because every living entity's natural position is to be in relationship with Krishna, loving service with Krishna. And Krishna is not the kind of entity like in some religions they conceive of God as like an old fellow sitting on a throne, and if you and everyone has to bow and serve him, and if you don't bow and serve him, he's going to make life very difficult for you, and thunderbolts will fall on your head, and pianos and ticks will bite you, and all kinds of things, and therefore, in that kind of an atmosphere, if you serve him, you're going to be happy, and if you don't serve him, you're going to suffer. Do you think there's going to be any love, or is it just going to be motivated? Yes, I'll do what you say, because I don't want to suffer. So it's all fear-based. But this is not fear-based. It's love, spontaneous love-based. So the cowherd boys, the cows, the friends of Krishna and Krishna entered the forest, and Krishna was playing the flute. And the cowherd boys, Gita Kirti, they would chant the glories of Krishna. Completely naturally, they would chant the glories of Krishna. They would sing about Krishna. They would make up songs about what Krishna had done. And he was always doing such wonderful things. So they decorated themselves with newly grown leaves, along with peacock feathers, garlands, clusters of flower buds, and colored minerals. And Krishna, Balaram, and their cowherd boyfriends danced. They sang. And what else did they do, considering they were playful boys? They wrestled. They wrestled and pushed each other and teased each other and joked with each other and made fun of each other. And it was all done with the greatest love and affection. But when Krishna danced, some of the boys accompanied him by singing. And others played flutes. They played kartals, hand cymbals. And they played their buffalo horns. Have any of you ever played a buffalo horn? I've also never played a buffalo horn. And others would praise Krishna's dancing. Krishna was very, very delicate and expert in his dancing. And he would dance and Balaram would dance. There's one pastime that's told when the boys were playing in the forest. Sometimes they would play as kings. So there would be one, Krishna would be the king of one kingdom, and they would divide the groups up into different groups, the boys up into groups. And Balaram would become the king of another kingdom. So sometimes the kingdoms would be at peace with each other, and sometimes they would send over spies to find out what the others were doing, and they would make war with each other, and there would be prime ministers and generals, and they'd play in this way, and sometimes they'd just be playing in this way. And then I can't remember who was the king of one kingdom. Krishna and Balaram and two boys dressed themselves as dancers. And as the king of one kingdom, cowboy boys, was sitting there, Krishna and Balaram and the boys came up dancing. And they approached the king. They're just playing, they're boys playing. They approached the king and they said, "Oh, my dear king, we have come from a faraway land. We have come from so far just to see you." And the king, another coward boy, responded by saying, "Oh, you have come so far? What is the purpose of your visit?" And the boys, Krishna and Balaram, would say, "We come because we are dancers who come from a faraway land, and we want to dance for you." "Okay, then this is your desire, then dance." So Krishna and Balaram began dancing, not in a crude way, but in the most delicate, sweet ways, with their hand movements and the moving of their legs. And some of the boys would be clapping, you know, the instruments like that. And other boys they were expert at taking leaves and rolling the leaves into flutes and playing on these little flutes. And meanwhile, Krishna would be dancing very expertly, and Balaram would be right next to him, and they would be dancing together, doing this movement and that movement. Does anyone have it? You know Bharatanatyam? You know? No, I was going to have. You knew I was going to ask. No wonder, even though you do know, but you don't want to be called to dance in front of him. Maharaj Mohan, you know dancing?
We both got the same teacher.
No one. So they'd be dancing and dancing, and the boys would be saying, "This is amazing. I mean, this is because it was so delicate, and telling stories and the hand movements and the facial expressions and the eyes moving this way and that way and delicate." And they couldn't tell the difference practically between Krishna's dancing and Balaram's dancing, except they could see that one was dark-colored and one was light-colored. So after the dancing was done, everyone was saying, "Sadhu, so well done, this was wonderful." Well, the kings, the boys playing as kings, would say, "What do you want? Whatever gifts you want, we'll give you." And then Krishna would say, "Yes, there is a gift that we want, and we come to beg it from you. What is it? What is it? You've pleased us so much. Whatever you want, we'll give you." And then Krishna and Balaram would look at him and say, "We want to wrestle with you." And then they would all start wrestling with each other, and they would pull each other's hair and do all kinds of, sometimes they would arm wrestle too. That was when the boys were just playing amongst themselves. And then at the end they would just laugh and laugh and laugh and play, and they'd be tired, and then the mothers would send all this food for them, and they would share their food. And this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who Vedic sacrifices, which are done exactly according to rules and regulations, and sacrifice, and everything has to be especially clean for the sacrifice to be right. When the boys were sharing the food that their mothers had sent them, one boy would say, "Oh, Krishna, no one's food is as good as what my mother has sent me." And they would take a bite and say, "Put it in Krishna's mouth." He's called Jagya Bhuk. He is the one who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. And sometimes they would tease each other, and one boy's food, they would, you know, he'd be carrying it, and one boy would steal it, the boy would chase after him, and then, of course, what would that boy do? He'd say, "I don't have anything." Someone would walk behind him, one of the boys would. One time I was in Barsana, and it was right before the opening of the deities, maybe 15 minutes before the opening of the deities, and there was about 15 or 20 young village boys there of all different ages, from like 5 to, and there were two that were a little older, like 13, 14, 15 years old. And what are boys going to do while waiting for the deities to open the darshan? They just play, naturally. They wouldn't sit there. You know, all the adults are very somber and sitting there, but the boys are just playing. And it was a continuous, it was like one entity, these 15 or 20 boys, there was like one entity of continuous different kinds of playing. So at one time, one boy was taking something from another, and until that, the big ones would tease and overlord it over the little ones and make them cry, and then it would, and then they'd make up in a second, and the, and they'd beat each other a little bit, and then they, then the, and they would be fighting in this group and that group, and then the groups would change, and the ones who were friends one moment would be fighting the next moment, and they would be playing tag and hide and seek. It was just, it was like one entity, continuous playing, and that, and I understood this is what it was like, something what it's like when Krishna with his cowboy friends, they're just playing one thing after another and really enjoying, and sometimes they're dancing, sometimes they're wrestling, sometimes they're eating, sometimes one boy is crying, and then the next boy is crying, but it's all done in fun and love. And sometimes they would steal Krishna's lunch and make Krishna cry. The Supreme Lord, he's so enwrapped by the loving devotion of these other cowherd boys that he forgets he's the Supreme Lord. He's just thinking of himself as a cowherd boy. His consciousness becomes what's called mugdata, compressed, because of the love in Sakyabhava, of friendship. Krishna's acting as the perfect friend. So this is what goes on in Vrindavan. Just one kind of pastime of playing and another, all in the background. And even if the boys or the gopis and Krishna and Balaram, if they are all together, but it's not Vrindavan, something is lacking, and the same enjoyment can't be there. So the devotees and Krishna and Balaram and this, the most wonderful land of Vrindavan, they all combine together for the most wonderful ecstatic pastimes that bring the most pleasure to Krishna and all the devotees. And now, we're going to go take a parikrama around Govardhan Hill and go to Nandagram. And there, we're going to witness and participate in the Abhishek, or the bathing ceremony of Krishna, where Krishna is going to be bathed, Gopinath. Is Gopinath himself going to be bathed?
Yes.
In so many substances. Now, we all have experienced bathing before, but none of us have ever been bathed in pomegranate juice, for example. Not even Nikunj or Niraj. And what are some of the other substances? Is it, huh? Yogurt, ghee,
honey,
milk,
water,
mango pulp. You're going to be bathed in, yeah, and different colors and sandalwood too. And wow, it's going to be an event. So to make our way there to Nandagam from Gokul, we will do parikrama, and the parikrama will be kirtan oriented.
Yes.
Has to go on.
And we're going. Of course, we have to pass Govardhan. How else could we get to Nandagam from? Okay. So what do we do? Who's the parikrama leader here?
Sri.